Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. You'll find that on page 1159 in your pew Bibles. Our message series is called Christian Home Fixer Upper, and so we're looking at how we can do some fixing up around our homes, but mostly talking about our homes and our relationships within our homes. So we're looking at what does the Bible teach us about marriage and family, about couples and singles. We have a message on singles coming up in a couple weeks, and mothers and fathers, children and parents. And last week we looked at the biblical foundations of marriage. Today we're going to look at the biblical roles in marriage. And there are a number of places in Scripture where God addresses these roles, but the most detailed passage by far is found right here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the Lord, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is God's holy word. Amen. Please be seated. As we get started this morning, I'll share with you some comments I found in the Reader's Digest in their quotable quotes section of marriage. Always love finding their things. Here's one by Brian Kiley. Brian says, I love being married. I was single for a long time, and I just got so tired of finishing my own sentences. Ooh, that's a dangerous one, isn't it? Barbara Streisand asks the question, why does a woman work 10 years to change a man's habits and then complain that he's not the man she married? Then I like this quote from Jay Leno. The key to a long and healthy marriage is that, honestly, there's nothing worth fighting about. There's some pretty good wisdom there as well. You know, the marriage relationship is one of the most important relationships God has given to us as human beings. And on a practical level, the marriage relationship is the basis of the family, which in turn is the foundational unit for all of society. On a spiritual level, the marriage relationship is also a picture of God in his relationships. And that's what we talked about last week, didn't we? So we talked about the biblical foundations of marriage. We saw that marriage is an ordered covenant relationship that reflects God's ordered relationships within the Trinity. We also saw that marriage is a covenant relationship of lifetime faithfulness. And we looked in depth at the second one of those, you know, that marriage is a covenant relationship of lifetime faithfulness. That reflects God's covenant relationship with his people. It's a picture of God's relationship with us. So we spoke a lot about that one, but we only touched on that first one. Marriage as an ordered relationship that's a picture of God's relationships within the Trinity. Quick review, God is one God and yet three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When God created man, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you see, in some way, when God created us as male and female, this reflected the plurality of the persons within the one true God. And we see this most clearly in human relationships in marriage, because a man and a woman in marriage are joined together as one flesh. They are two separate persons, yet in marriage, they come together, they are joined together as one. Now, we saw last week that God is not only a Trinity. It's not only one God, three persons, but that God has order within his own relationships, within the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all co-equal. They're all equally God, and yet the Son voluntarily submits to the Father. And the Holy Spirit voluntarily glorifies Christ. And so in the Trinity, what we find is perfect love and submission among the three persons who are equally one God. In the same way, marriage as a picture of God is also an ordered relationship. Husband and wife are equal partners in the marriage, and yet God has established an order within that relationship. So marriage is a picture of God's faithfulness to his people. It's also a picture of God's ordered relationships within the Trinity. And that brings us to today's topic, the biblical roles in marriage. Like the Trinity, marriage is an ordered relationship where the man and the woman have equal value but different roles. One of the primary truths of Scripture, one of the first ones we come across in the pages of the Bible, is that man and woman are created together in God's image. And therefore, they have equal value, equal dignity, equal worth. Secular feminism today often misunderstands us, and they think that the Bible discriminates against women. When the reality is this, is that from the very beginning, the Bible has taught the high value of women created together with man in God's image. And the Bible has consistently promoted a higher value for women than what you find in the culture around it. Wherever the Bible has been taught correctly, women are valued, honored, and treasured. The Bible does not teach that men and women have different value or worth in marriage. It simply teaches that we have different roles in marriage. God designed marriage. He designed the roles in marriage. And I'll tell you this, that most of the problems we experience in marriage, most if not all of the problems that we experience in marriage, are due to the fact that one or both of the marriage partners are not fulfilling their God-designed roles. And so in order for any marriage to function as God intended, we must first understand these roles, and then we must apply them in our own marriage. Now, we're talking Christian home fixer-upper. When you're fixing up a home, what do you got to do first? You got to knock down some walls, and that kind of hurts. We've just been through a major renovation at our house, and it got worse before it got better, right? And it's really painful going through those walls being taken down. Well, it's like that when we come to God's Word, isn't it? God's got some walls to knock down in our lives if he's going to fix it back up again and do the renovation. So hang with me, because these are some difficult teachings this morning. Ephesians 5 is our text, and it maps out these roles for us. Once again, we find that marriage is a picture of God and his relationships. In this case, it's a picture of Christ and the church. We're going to look at both the men's roles in marriage, the women's roles. Paul starts with the women's roles first, so we're going to start where he did. That's where we begin. Ready? Here we go. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. This has got to be one of the least popular verses in the whole Bible this morning for women, right? I remember when I was teaching this in Sunday school one time, and one woman in my class actually covered her ears. She stuck her fingers in her ears, and she looked right at me. She said out loud enough for the whole class to hear, "I'm not listening." Now, I know that none of you here today would do that, right? Right? You wouldn't cover your ears as we're talking about. Get your fingers out of your ears. There, get your fingers out. You know, ladies, don't worry. And if few minutes, we're going to get to the men's part. And you know what? That's when they're going to want to start covering their ears. Let's take a look at this now. What is it that women don't like about this verse? I'm guessing. I'm just guessing. Has something to do with that word submit, right? That's the word we don't like. We don't like the idea of submission because submission implies authority and order in the relationship. And we naturally rebel against that idea. Well, what does it mean to submit? You know, if we're going to struggle with this, let's make sure we at least understand what it means. I'm going to tell you what it means to submit in a moment, but first let me tell you what it does not mean, okay? Because this verse has been misunderstood and taught incorrectly, unfortunately, many times. First of all, submission does not mean putting up with abuse, whether physical or verbal or emotional. I've read tragic accounts of well-meaning pastors or counselors telling women in abusive situations that they simply need to submit to their husband's abuse. That is not what God says. That is not what the Bible says. That is not what our text is saying here. No one anywhere ever has any right to damage you or your children in any way, whether physically or emotionally. An abusive situation is an unacceptable situation. And the biblical solution is not to submit to abuse, but to hold the abuser accountable for his actions. So let's get that clear right away. God does not call you to submit yourself to abuse, ever. Secondly, submission is not the same thing as obedience. Notice what verse 22 does not say. It does not say, wives, obey your husbands, but rather, wives, submit to your husbands. And that's significant because we find that word obey just a couple verses down, don't we? Where the text goes on and says, children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your masters. In other words, the wife is not supposed to obey her husband the way that a child obeys his parents or a slave obeys his master. It's a different kind of relationship. It is husband and wife joined together as one, equal partners. The relationship between husband and wife is not the same as a parent-child relationship or a master-slave relationship. So that's, submit does not mean any of those things. So what does the word submit mean? The word itself literally means this, to willingly, to voluntarily put yourself under another person's authority. And so submission has to do with order. God is the one who has established order in all parts of life, and he asks us to submit to the order that he has designed. Notice that Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So wives, when you submit to your husband, what you are really doing is you are submitting yourself to God. You're submitting yourself to the Lord because you are following God's order. Now, Paul further describes this role of submission. He teases it out for us by drawing an analogy. And he draws the analogy between Christ and the church. And here he says two things about a wife's submission. First of all, he says that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. In other words, he defines what it means when he says the husband is the head of the wife. It's the same way that Christ is the head of the church. Secondly, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands. Let's break down both of those now. First of all, verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Notice this text does not say that the husband should be the head of the wife or that the husband should act like the head of the wife. It simply states a fact. It says the husband is the head of the wife. In other words, this is not a matter of competence or ability or how good a job the husband's doing in that, but rather it is simply a matter of assigned role. God has given that role. The husband is the head of the wife. And just as Christ is the head of the church, so God has assigned the role of leadership in the home to the husband. Doesn't mean the husband's more important than the wife. Doesn't mean he's more spiritual than the wife. Doesn't even mean he's a better leader than the wife. It simply means that God has given the husband that role in the family. He is the head, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now notice verse 23 elaborates on this. Christ is head of the church by calling the church his body, of which he is the Savior. And so the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of that body. He's not only the head of the church, but he is also the Savior. In fact, the reason why Christ is the head of the church is because he is the Savior. When Jesus laid down his life for us at the cross, he became the Savior, and thus he became the head of the church, which is his body. You may be noticing that Paul's kind of playing around with this word, and he's using this word head in a couple different ways, both in terms of leadership and then also in this sense of head and body together. Both are true of Christ with respect to the church. Jesus is the head of the church in the sense that he is the leader of the church. And Jesus is the head of the church in the sense that the church is the body of Christ, that the church and Christ are joined together as one, but there's still order in the relationship. It's one body, head and body together, but Christ is the head, we're the body. We're never told that we're the head and Christ is the body. We're the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're going to return to that in a few moments when we get to the man's role in marriage. But that's the first thing we learn about the woman's role in marriage. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, Paul takes that truth we looked at in verse 23, and he draws an application out in verse 24. He says, now, as the church submits to Christ, So also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. How should the wife submit to her husband? In the same way that the church submits to Christ. Well, how does the church submit to Christ? By loving him, respecting him, serving him, pleasing him, and following his lead. How then should a wife respect her husband? By loving him, respecting him, serving him, pleasing him, following his lead. Notice that the church does not get to pick and choose when to submit to Christ. And so Paul tells wives, make sure that you submit to your husbands in everything. And so the wife is not to pick and choose when to submit, not to submit. I'll submit on Mondays and Wednesdays, right? But as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, I realize that this is a challenging teaching in today's culture. Actually, it should be a challenging teaching in any culture. And I'm guessing that a number of you are doing all that you can not to put your fingers in your ears while I'm up here preaching. That's okay. I understand. In fact, if that was the whole message this morning, if I said, well, that's it, let's close our Bibles and go home, that would be a really tough message to follow. You'd say, Pastor, that's a very one-sided message. And you're right, it would be a one-sided message. Fortunately, there's another half to the message. Because when you look at biblical roles in marriage, you've got to look at both sides of the equation, or none of it makes sense. And so Paul, right after he's presented the woman's role in marriage, now he immediately balances it out by presenting the man's role. That's where we go next. So now here we are, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. We're still dealing with marriage as a picture of Christ in the church, but now Paul presents the man's role in the marriage relationship. And if the woman's role is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ, the husband's role is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And men, as a husband and as a father, I've got to tell you, I do not know of any more challenging command in Scripture. So men, what does it mean to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Well, just as Paul had two things to say to the wives in their relationship, he has two things to say to the man about the husband's love. Number one, the husband should sacrifice for his wife as Christ gave himself up for the church. And number two, the husband should love his wife as he loves his own body. Let's take a look at both of these. First of all, the husband should sacrifice for his wife as Christ gave himself up for the church. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I think it's significant that the verbs describing Christ here in verse 25, they're in the past tense rather than the present tense. Notice it does not say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Rather, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. In other words, these words point us back to Christ's ultimate act of love, his sacrifice for us on the cross. So husbands, how are you called to love your wife? Just as Jesus gave himself up at the cross. In the same way, you are to sacrifice everything for your wife. Just as Christ gave himself away for the church, you are to give yourself away for your wife. You say, well, that's not easy. Well, it wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross either. Everything in Christ screamed against it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus pleaded with the Father. He said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Three times Jesus prayed for the cross to be taken away from him. But as we read in Isaiah 53, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. He poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus went to the cross at great cost to himself. He sacrificed himself for our benefit. He put our needs before himself. Husbands, guess what? God calls you to sacrifice for your wife at great cost to yourself. He calls you to put your wife's needs before your own. In effect, God calls you to die to yourself and to sacrifice your life for the benefit of your wife. I'm guessing by now the women, you've all got the fingers out of your ears, and the guys, we're looking around for the earplugs, right? This is tough teaching. Verses 26 and 27 tells Jesus did this for the church in order to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, men, we cannot cleanse our wives or make our wives holy in the same way that Jesus washed the church by his sacrifice on the cross. But I do believe that when we sacrifice ourselves for our wives, we make our wives radiant. When we honor our wives by putting their needs before our own, we allow them to shine with the value and the dignity and the worth that God invested them with as women. We free them to be all that they can be and should be for Christ. And of course, we should also do all that we can to help them grow in holiness and commitment to the Lord, even as they help us. Paul says something else, though, about loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Not only are you to sacrifice for your wife as Christ gave himself up for the church, but you are also to love your wife as you love your own body. Look at verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So, men, how many of you love your own bodies this morning? Let me give you a hint. Every time you order a pizza or a big old steak, you are loving your body, right? Because it just tastes so good. You know, you just, oh, man, I love that pizza. I love that steak. And it just, I feel so good as it goes down. Oh, what are you doing? You are loving your body. You are pleasing your body. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We just need to understand that God calls us to love our wives in the same way. Once again, Paul is drawing from this analogy of the man as the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of his body, the church. And so the leadership to which God calls you as a husband is not the leadership of a dictator over a country. It's not the leadership of a master over a slave. It's not the leadership of a parent over a child, but it is the leadership of the head over the body, where the head and the body are vitally connected and they share a common life together. You are to love your wife as you love your own body and as you seek only the best for your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why? Because the two, in fact, are one. And so when you do good for your wife, you're doing good for yourself. When you sacrifice for your wife to make her shine and be radiant, you are really benefiting yourself. Why? Because you are one with your wife. Paul goes on to say in the next verses, 29 and 30, he says, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. No one ever hated his own body. He takes care of it. That makes sense. The head takes care of the body. The head never commands the body to do something damaging or destructive to itself. Why? Because the head's part of the body. That would damage itself. The head belongs to the body. The body belongs to the head. And so, husbands, in the same way as you lead your family, you should make all your decisions based not on what works best for you, but according to what is best for your wife and your family as a whole. You are not given this role of leadership in the family to serve yourself, but rather to serve your wife and family. And as the head of the family, you are to love your wife as you love your own body, just as Christ loves and takes care of the church, which is his own body. Paul goes on the next verses 31 and 32. He quotes from Genesis 2:24 about the man and the woman coming together in marriage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. What Paul's saying is this. He says, yeah, it's a profound mystery when a man and woman come together in marriage. He says, but the real mystery, the real profound mystery is the union of Jesus Christ with the church. Once again, marriage is just a picture. Yes, it's important. It's important in and of itself, but it's more important as a picture of Christ and the church. So once again, marriage points to something bigger than itself. It's a picture of God and his relationships, which is why it's so important for us to follow God's design for marriage. There's one more point in your outline, number 3. Paul sums it all up in verse 33 when he says this, "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Paul summarizes the husband's role as that of loving his wife as himself, and he summarizes the wife's role as that of respecting her husband. Notice that each partner in the marriage relationship is responsible for his or her own role. In other words, husbands, you're responsible for your role, not your wives. Wives, you're responsible for your role, not your husband's. Anytime you get that in reverse, anytime you start focusing on your spouse's role in marriage instead of your own role, guess what? You are headed for trouble. But isn't that what we usually do? I've had many women come to me over the years complaining about their husband's lack of spiritual leadership in the home. Very rarely will a woman come to me and complain to me about her own lack of submission or respect. And guys, I've heard plenty of you complain about how your wives don't respect you, but it is very rare when a man comes to me and says, "You know, I really need to learn how to sacrifice more for my wife and family." See, we need to stop blaming our spouses for not fulfilling their role, and we need to start focusing on fulfilling our own role in the marriage. In other words, it's okay if you want to cover your ears when I'm talking about your spouse's role. It's okay because that is not your area of responsibility or concern. God wants you to focus on your role. Because when it comes right down to it, I really have no control over Rosie and whether she's going to practice submission in the home. And she has no control over me and whether I'm going to practice sacrificial love in the home. Each of us can only fulfill our own responsibilities. Unfortunately, what often happens in the home is this. Because one partner is not fulfilling their role, the other partner says, "Ha! Well, I'm not going to do my role either." And what that does is that starts a negative cycle, which is destructive to the relationship and to God's design for your home. Here's what you really need to do. If your spouse is not fulfilling his or her own role, what you need to do is start focusing on fulfilling your own role in the home. And more often than not, when you do that, when one partner does the right thing, what will it do? It'll reverse the cycle. It will start a positive cycle now in the right direction. In other words, wives, the best way to inspire sacrificial love from your husband is to treat him with respect. Husbands, the best way to gain your wife's respect is to sacrifice for her in love. Now, sometimes the question comes up, what if my husband or wife is not a believer? What if they have no interest in fulfilling their biblical role in the marriage? What then? We're going to talk about that later in the series. There's a whole schedule of the topics, and you'll see there's a week coming up where we're going to talk about spiritual mismatch. What do we do in that situation? We'll talk more about that then. But for now, please realize that a spiritual mismatch still does not change Paul's instruction here in Ephesians 5. Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So in conclusion, what are the biblical roles in marriage? The man's role is to sacrifice for his wife out of love for her. And the woman's role is to submit to her husband out of respect for him. And so we have sacrifice motivated by love, submission motivated by respect. Because you cannot force either one of those. Forced sacrifice is not motivated by love. Forced submission is not motivated by respect. But if every husband and every wife took their own assigned roles seriously, we would go a long way to restoring the peace, the love, and the harmony that God intended for our marriages. So where do we go wrong? Why do we have so much trouble with this? Well, one reason is because this teaching, once again, has been distorted so much over the years. Too often people have heard about these verses and they think it's just saying that men have the right to boss their wives around the house. And if that's what you think leadership in the home is all about, you have not been listening. It's not about bossing. It's not about being a bully. Don't you dare be a bully. You are co-equal in the home, co-equal partners in marriage. Your role is not to boss your wife around, but to sacrifice for her out of love. Second reason we have trouble with this teaching is because we all struggle with sin. And as husbands and wives, we each have a very specific root problem of sin in this area. When it comes to sin in the area of marital relationships, I believe the root problem for women is one of rebellion, and the root problem for men is one of selfishness. When women have trouble with submission in the home, the real problem is they do not want to submit to God and His order and His design. It is a problem of rebellion against God and His design. Sin of rebellion. And men, when we have trouble with sacrificial love, you know what the real problem is? We're selfish. We're just selfish at heart, and we do not want to put our wives first. And so as we close this morning, women, I would encourage you to examine your hearts for rebellion this morning. Men, I would encourage you to examine your hearts for selfishness. And then let me encourage you to confess that sin to God, to leave it behind at the foot of the cross, and then ask God to help you fulfill your role in marriage as God intends. Let us pray. Father, this morning, as I read through these verses, I'm convicted. Lord, I confess to you that I am a selfish man. And I know that only Jesus can help me to be better. So, Lord, this morning, we confess our sins to you. We confess our sins of selfishness. We confess our sins of rebellion. And Lord, we ask your help to change. We ask for your Holy Spirit to do the work that only you can do, to change our hearts. Lord, for any marriages that are hurting this morning, I lift each one up to you. For anybody who's really struggling in their marriage or has struggled, Lord, I pray for hope, pray for healing, I pray for restoration. Lord, for our young people who are here with us this morning, who are either preparing for marriage or one day will be, Lord, I pray that they would return to these verses often in Ephesians 5. And Lord, I pray that you would grant them a deep understanding through your Spirit of this beautiful design for marriage that you've designed, how it works. Because God, when it works, when we're all doing our roles, it works so beautifully. And it brings such glory and honor to you. And it fulfills that beautiful picture, Lord Jesus, of you and your church. Lord, for all of us, I pray for your grace and forgiveness to cover our sin and our failings. Lord, we ask for strength to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.